Alex Tanner Show on a Tuesday here on WQAM. Playing Star Wars music because it is the 67th birthday today for Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. Looks every bit of those 67 years if you've seen him in the recent Star Wars films. I mean, that dude must be living a hard life, man.
I kind of wanted to gauge you on the recent Star Wars films. If, like, I feel like a lot of people have been upset with them recently.
You know, a lot of people hate The Last Jedi. That was the one that just came out, and a lot of people really liked The Force Awakens, the previous one. I kind of think The Force Awakens was kind of trash because it was just like a rehashing of Episode 4, the original. And I kind of thought The Last Jedi was decent, not great, but decent because they took some chances storytelling-wise. Is it just me or does my microphone sound like crap? Is that just me? Is it what I hear back in my headset?
No, I think I can go double check, but I think you sound good.
I don't know. It sounds bad in my earphones. I don't know what it is. We will try and truck on. First world problems, my friends. First world problems. And, you know, before the show, I spent 3 minutes arguing with Channing Crowder about whether or not black holes exist, to which his argument against black holes existing was, we don't have any pictures of them, right? So I think until I can show him a picture of a black hole, he will not believe that they do exist. That 3 minutes of my life was a black hole. 2 days away, my friends, from Miami Hurricanes taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels. 8 p.m. Thursday night football at Hard Rock Stadium. Now, the big question everyone wants the answer to, and it's a question that will not be answered probably until hours or minutes before kickoff. Hopefully hours, not minutes. Who do you go with at quarterback, 12 or 5? Do you go with Malik Rozier? Or do you go with Nikosi Perry? Richt has been changing it up a bit in practice this week. I just think it's to make us go mental. Or it might be to confuse North Carolina. I will accept that, right? I mean, make North Carolina prepare for as many quarterbacks as possible. If North Carolina even thinks there's a shred of chance that Cade Weldon or Jaren Williams starts, make them prepare for every possible outcome. But to me, I can't see how, after what transpired on Saturday afternoon, how you don't go with Nikosi Perry. He earned it. Right? Now, Mark Richt admitted. He admitted it to Josh Darrow on Saturday at halftime and talked about it with the Joe Rose Show on Monday, yesterday, that, okay, he knew the night before the game, this is what I'm going to do against FIU. No matter how the first two series go, two touchdowns, two interceptions, two punts, whatever. No matter how the first two series go with Rozier, we're bringing on Nikosi Perry in the third series of the game. See how he does. We reevaluate then at halftime. Because I'm sure if Nikosi Perry had not played well during the first half, they could have easily gone back to Malik for the third quarter. They didn't. They shouldn't. Because Nikosi Perry went out there, was throwing darts, completed his first 10 passes, was leading scoring drives. The offense clearly had a spark when Nikosi Perry got on the field. To me, that was the answer to my question, right? The question that Mark Richt has been asking himself all season long, which quarterback gives us the best chance to win? I thought that question was clearly answered on Saturday against FIU. And the answer is Nikosi Perry. Throws a better football. He's actually faster and more athletic than Malik Rozier is. And he clearly adds a tempo and a spark to that offense. It's not to say the guy is perfect. No. Right? He's throwing interceptions in both of his appearances, although he threw that interception against FIU, which was better than a Zach Fiegel's punt. I think that's worth noting.
Essentially a punt.
It was. And it was better than the 20-yard punt you would have gotten from Zach Fiegel's. We'll probably have a new punter on Thursday night, by the way, right? I feel like Jack Spicer is not getting the attention he deserves this week, right? Because if you're going to make a change at punter, it's kind of tough to be Jack Spicer, who likely gets the nod at starting punter, in the same week when you likely have a quarterback switch at starter. So his headline is completely buried at the back of the paper, Jack Spicer, who likely takes over for Zach Fiegels as the punter. So Monday in practice, Nikosi Perry got the first team reps at quarterback. This is during the media viewing. The media gets to watch about 15 minutes. So you don't know what happens before or after that. But during the media viewing, it was Nikosi Perry getting the first team snaps. on Monday. Then today, Tuesday, Malik Rozier gets the first team snaps. Right? So you're, I guess in essence, you're giving North Carolina something to think about. You're giving the fans something to think about. You're getting the media something to think about. My question would be this, right? Two questions. Number one, if you do roll out with Malik Rozier as your starter on Thursday night, what's that crowd going to be like? Home game, Thursday night game at Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, that young man gets booed already. If he trots out there number 12 as the starter, when the fans are hoping, expecting, and even sometimes praying for Nikosi Perry to start Thursday, what is that crowd reaction going to be like? Then number two would be, at this point, for the reasons I described, Nikosi Perry throws a better football, actually quicker and more athletic, better tempo, better command of that offense than Malik has. What would be the reason, at this point, why Mark Richt would go with Malik Rozier? Because I can only think of two. Seniority, which to me doesn't mean squat, right? Seniority does not answer the question, who gives you the best chance to win a football game? I think that just because you've been through more battles with Malik and because he's a fifth-year senior, like seniority to me is not a valid reason to go with that guy. But what about experience? He's the more experienced quarterback. Cannot dispute that factually. Malik Rozier is the more experienced quarterback. He's the only one of the two with any starts under his belt. But again, to me, his seniority, the way that he has struggled since November of last year, his experience does not answer the question, which quarterback gives you the better chance or the best chance to win? I don't think there's a strong argument to be made as for why Malik Rozier is the starting quarterback, if that happens on Thursday night. I don't think you have a strong argument in his corner. To me, he's clearly the second best quarterback. We think the second best. He's definitely not the best quarterback on that roster right now. Nikosi Perry gives you the best chance to win football games. I think you have to start him on Thursday.
Isn't it just weird at this point to go back to Malik? Like, you sat him from the third series against FIU, but it's like, all right, now we're going to play you again when we start ACC play. Like, that, to me, there is no going back from here. The decision, I mean, maybe Richt hasn't said it, but I feel like it's already kind of been made.
You know, and again, like, I think that, you know, Nikosi was going to come on in the third series no matter what. If he had come on and looked average or struggled, then it's very easy, right? You bring Malik Rozier back out at the third quarter of that game and you say, okay, now do you guys understand why Malik Rozier's our starting quarterback, right? You saw Nikosi Perry go out there, have an uneven, you know, quarter and a half of football. This is why he's not ready and Malik is, right? That would have been the argument. If Nikosi Perry had gone out there and looked anything less than very good, which is how he looked on Saturday, then you would have a clear argument as to why you go back to Malik, because Perry's not ready. Malik's the guy we've been in the trenches with for the last 2 years. This has to be our starter. But based on the way Nikosi Perry played in that game, starting with completing his first 10 passes, throwing dimes all throughout, I don't think that that argument for Malik Rozier is valid anymore. So I do want to hear what Mark Richt had to say about it at Media Day yesterday. And again, like, I am of the mind that the starting quarterback on Thursday night is going to be Nikosi Perry. I think Mark Richt is going to get this right. Now, the fact that he's not committing to it, why would he? What obligation does he have right now when North Carolina gets a short week and travel to prepare for you? Why would you give them one less thing to think about? But here is Coach Richt on preparing North Carolina for two quarterbacks.
And every quarterback has a little different skill set. Every quarterback has a certain amount of pocket presence, certain amount of running ability, certain amount of accuracy. I don't think the system would change dramatically, just like no matter who we play, our system is not going to change really, not very much at all. But skill sets are a little bit different. They may play one guy different than another, but you just have to prepare for what they do and when you figure out who's in there.
Here's Richt joking with the media about which quarterback is going to start. Maybe.
I'm going to yes. You know, continue to watch practice, let everybody know what's up when it's time to let them know, but I'm not telling them what's up. I mean, I know. I had a little fun today, just, you know, a little running back drill. I know how much y'all watch it. I saw y'all scribbling down there, so I got a good chuckle on that one. So, anyway, everybody, you know, Malik got first team reps, Kosi got first team reps, Weldon got some first team reps. So, you know, we think all three of those guys have, you know, gotten to the point where they've earned the right to play, and we're just going to continue to watch them practice and see who we think's the best guy to help us win.
Yeah, it's funny when he talks about the media scribbling. Yeah, I've been to every Hurricanes home game, Dolphins home game so far this season in the press box, and the two times you see people scribble the most are when a new quarterback comes in the Canes game, right? When all of a sudden, wait, that's not 12, that's 5. Oh, every media member's got their pad and paper. They're typing furiously. That's number one. And then and the other one is, no, I think that's really the main thing. That's what makes people absolutely go crazy is the typing on that, right? When you have a different quarterback going out there, it's like the entire media scrambles. What's Barry Jackson typing about right now? What's Manny Navarro typing?
They're slamming the keyboard. Like, yeah. Anytime something important happens, you just hear...
I love that, man. Every single time. Wow, a lot of people disagreeing with me, by the way, on Nikosi Perry. I want to get to that in a second, but here's Mark Richt on having to make this type of quarterback decision before.
I mean, I've had times... you know, just not 100% sure, but I probably had more times where I had the starter and then the number twos were splitting time and a little bit more of that. Not sure who two was, probably.
Here's Rick saying, talking about feeling good about all the quarterbacks and why he pulled Malik Rozier in that last game.
I feel good because I know we got guys that can play. If we were scrambling around because everybody's struggling, that's a problem. And like I said, Malik did nothing wrong. You know, just the young guys are just kept maturing and getting better and you know, got to the point where it's time to see what they can do, and Kosi got that opportunity.
And here's Rick on both quarterbacks, Malik Rozier and Nikosi Perry, being able to compete.
I think, well, I mean, you just got to line up and practice and compete. That's all you can do. And, you know, a lot of times the QB position is more settled than it is right this second, but the very good news is we've got some really competent guys that can play, and that's what I'm most excited about.
You got to hope that that the competition is making both of these guys better. I mean, Nikosi Perry, right before the season started, was suspended for the first game. There have been times last year where he wasn't practicing very well, and the spring didn't practice very well. But now that he sniffs the opportunity to be the starting quarterback, you got to hope he's putting his best foot forward now anytime he steps on the field at practice or in a game. And then for Malik Rozier, didn't really have any competition until the last couple of weeks. So yeah, if he does end up being the starter moving forward or getting big chances to play moving forward, you have to hope that the fact that he's got Nikosi Perry breathing down his neck makes him better. Texter writes in, Perry did not throw darts, which I disagree with that. He was throwing dimes. He was throwing darts. And in fact, several of his passes were way off target, including the interception. Okay, compared to number 12, wouldn't you say he throws a better ball and throws with better accuracy?
100%. I mean, and to make a comparison here, we literally had Manny Navarro come on and show that Malik Rozier's completion rate in the entire college football world was like ranked 126th out of starting QBs.
And Manny's going to join us at 7:20 tonight, by the way. Texter writes, if the Canes were playing a good team from behind, Perry might not have been capable of bringing the offense back. I thought he was athletic, fast, and all of that, but most of his passes made me cringe. Most of I don't agree with that. I disagree with you, Dono. Who says Perry is better, Texter writes. You can't judge off 2-3 quarters versus FIU. The potential is there, man. And also had some good passes against Savannah State. Again, I know Savannah State is terrible, but you couldn't even see when Nikosi Perry is playing in the same games that Malik Rozier was in against the same defenses, that he added in several elements that Malik Rozier did not add to that team.
And just a visual compliment here to Malik, I mean, to Nikosi. Like, you can tell that the team is a little bit more energized when Nikosi is out there.
Yeah.
Like, I felt confident on Saturday watching that team when the offense executes, as compared to with Malik. Like, I'm scared when he drops back just because of his inaccuracies and his erratic throws.
Texter writes, Malik never set the bar very high. Not sure why it took Kosi this long to take over. Well, that was another reason why I was worried about Nikosi, right? You saw the way that Malik was playing. You have to wonder, man, how bad is Nakosi Perry that he can't seem to get any starting reps until a couple of weeks back?
I feel like Rick kind of owed it to Malik after the season he had last year, first time in you know, 15 years.
Well, and also remember, you opened the season against LSU.
Right, so you don't want to throw a guy out there to get mauled.
And I can understand that, right? For everything now that I'm saying, comparing Nakosi Perry favorably to Malik Rozier, I still don't question the decision of starting the season with Malik based on who you were facing, how little experience Nakosi, who now has more experience, how little experience he had at that time, zero collegiate experience. I'm not arguing that season opening decision at all. Let the kid loose, the texter writes. Players say Nakosi throws a more catchable ball. Yeah, I did hear that from, can't remember if it was Lawrence Cager or Jeff Thomas, but one of the receivers did say that. FIU ain't UNC, Virginia Tech, FSU, or even BC. One game isn't enough to make you a starter. Nakosi needs to be worked in, not starting. Were you going to say something nasty there?
I just don't get how you work somebody in by having them sit on the bench.
Well, also, North Carolina's not great.
They're not. But they did get all the players back that were suspended.
That is true. That is true. So on paper, that does give them a boost. But it's not like you're talking about Virginia Tech or facing LSU again. I don't know where to rate Florida State at this point. They don't look good either.
Well, what I will admit, though, is that there is a barometer for which we can judge Nakosi, because to some of the texters' point, yeah, FIU isn't the best competition to judge him against. But when the bullets really do start flying in terms of the FSUs, the VTechs, who do have good defenses, I am interested to see how he would play.
Yo, this guy doesn't even know what station he's listening to. Curtis, let's get the growing pains in now with Perry. He will have 2 years after this one. Go Canes. I mean, I think he's listening to this show, unless Curtis happens to be talking about the exact same thing, which he might be. That's a big topic, right? So I think he's listening to the right show, just got the two hosts confused. Like, he thinks he's texting Curtis and Perk, but I think he is actually listening to me. I love that. Like, sometimes I'll get a text that's meant for Frito. Frito will get a text that's meant for me. I get it. It's confusing, right? You got two sports radio stations that are now under the same ownership umbrella, so there's some crossover. I feel your pain. I feel your confusion. And on this note, Nakosi Perry, Malik Rozier being one of them, I'm sure. I want to give you my top three list on the other side. Top three things that so far I think I was wrong about, now that we're 4 weeks into football season, 4 weeks into college, 3 weeks into the NFL. Top four things I think I was wrong about before football season started. The Alex Donoff Show continues next year on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Talk Dolphins with Sadiq Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So he's the new Chris Perkins. Chris Perkins is now at The Athletic. Sadiq Dean is now working with Omar Kelly on the Sun Sentinel Dolphins beat. And something interesting about Sadiq, I met him a couple weeks ago at the Dolphins-Titans game. So he used to work the Florida State beat at the Orlando Sentinel. Now he works the Dolphins beat at the Sun Sentinel. Didn't he find the best possible time to leave the Florida State beat to get off that sinking ship and then get on a Miami Dolphins beat where there's a lot of positivity right now, right? 3-0, exciting team to watch. Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson, Xavier Howard, Tannehill's playing pretty well.
He jumped off the sinking ship to join the best ship, the sinking ship.
Maybe he's the reason, right? Maybe, you know, and Jimbo Fisher said, hey, if Sadiq Dean is leaving the beat, I don't want to be here anymore. Right? Like maybe he was the reason why Florida State was pretty dominant for a while. And now he's the reason the Dolphins are rising from the ashes.
I will say, though, that Safeed's got some swag to him.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise the moment Safeed leaves that they come out with the awful turnover backpack. All of Florida State's swagger left with Safeed, and now the Dolphins have it somehow.
That's true. Like we needed him covering that Miami LSU game. Like if we could have just got him for one day on the Canes beat. Send him to Dallas.
Send him to Dallas.
They'd be 4-0. They'd be like, And if they'd won that LSU game, they were number 8 to start the year, they'd be like probably number 3 or 4 at this point.
Also means Malik continues to start, but.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I would take that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick and Davey. What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, Captain Curtis? Oh, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, and you know what? Texters were telling me Curtis isn't even working today. So, like, he's not even on. How do you make that mistake? How do you confuse me for Curtis today?
It's called serious drugs. That's all I can say.
I guess so. I need some of those, man, after the day I've had. I'll talk about later.
By the way, I got to quickly just respond to the guy from last Friday. You know, Alex, I've been following football for about 49 years now. I guess I never knew that the ultimate goal was to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that guy really came down the mountain with the tablets.
I love how you held on to that for 4 days, by the way. I barely remember that call. You've been stewing about it for the last 4 days.
I have a memory of an elephant. I do not forget, my friend. That's why I was a mailman for 30 years. How do you think I memorized all my addresses?
Yeah, you know what? So I think I need you working my route, Rick, because I get other people's mail all the time. I can only imagine how much of my mail goes to other people. I don't even know about it.
Yeah, it could be. You know, Alec, before I get to the Dolphins, I got to say this. This is what's happening with here with the games. It's what's happening in Cleveland, what's going to happen now in Arizona, what's happening in Buffalo with Allen. There's no need to go back to Rozier, however you want to say it. That's like the Browns are not going to go back to Taylor. The Cardinals are not going to go back to Bradford. And Buffalo's not going to go back to Peterman. There's no reason. This kid and the former Heisman Trophy winner, Andre Ware, was just raving about him the entire game. So, Mark, you could try to fool us. You could do what try to fool UNC. We know this kid should be the starter for the next 3 years. Now, switching over to the Dolphins, you know, I've been listening to every post-game show and every show ever since Sunday's win, and the list of doubters and haters just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. But like I tell you every week, Alex, I'm not apologizing for a record. I'm not apologizing for the opponents that we beat. This is the NFL, and every win matters. Now, the thing that's frustrating me, Alex, about this whole, you know, roughing the quarterback penalties and all that.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Listen. Unless it's a real blatant, you got to let these guys play. And but what really bothers me is when I hear some of the local guys and a lot of national guys say, well, the NFL wants to make sure that their stars don't get hurt. Now, let me ask you this, Alex, and it's a rhetorical question because I know you know the answer. What would happen if Trent Green would have never gotten hurt? We would never know who Kurt Warner. More famously, what happened if Mo Lewis doesn't knock out Drew Bledsoe? We would never know who Tom Brady
is. That's a good point. It's part of football is what you're saying.
Exactly. You never know what future Hall of Famer a team might have on its bench. And to bring it here locally, the 72 perfect season, game 5, I believe it was. Deacon Jones sacks Bob Greasy, fractures his ankle. 38-year-old veteran, you could say journeyman quarterback, Earl Morrow comes in, leads us all the way to the AFC Championship. He struggles in the first half. Coach Shula makes a change, and the rest is history. So, you know what? You got to play the hand that's dealt to you. The NFL cannot officiate and regulate the league based on they don't want their stars hurt. Again, I'm going to repeat it for the last time. You never know what future Hall of Famer could be on somebody's bench. And they need to let these guys play, man. This is football. You're going to hurt yourself. And these guys know it when they sign up to play.
And case in point would be this. If not for these rules and the inconsistencies in these rules, William Hayes would not be out right now, right? I mean, so I guess they don't care about William Hayes tearing his ACL to avoid falling on a quarterback. All they care about is the fact that Derek Carr can walk comfortably today.
Exactly. And one last thing, I'm watching E60 now. My God, Sammy Sosa looks worse than Michael Jackson.
I think he looks good, man. I mean, the before and after picture is a little wonky, but I think Sammy Sosa's looking fly.
And by the way, he all of a sudden he knows how to speak English.
Right. So, yeah. As soon as you bring up steroids, I can't speak a word of English. But now he's good, man.
All right. Have a good night, Alex.
And Sammy Sosa. Wow. That dude. Let's talk to Bert in Key Biscayne. What's up, Bert?
Yo, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, good, man. How about you?
Can't complain for a Tuesday. I almost said Wednesday.
Almost. We're getting there.
Hey, but real quick, about the Kings, I'm going to make two quick points about the Kings and about the Dolphins real quick. That Cozy Perry, you have to put him in over Rozier, or Rozier, whatever you want to call him. You know, he has more firepower and more enthusiasm.
And he's getting better before our eyes. Even the difference from the Savannah State game to the FIU game was noticeable. Such a higher ceiling. Like, hey, you have to roll with Nkosi Perry right now. I think you are doing your team a disservice if you don't, because he's the more talented quarterback. You're doing him a disservice, Nkosi, if you don't roll with him right now.
Not only that, and you're building him a lot of confidence by starting him now. You're not going to get anywhere, I'm telling you this much. You're not going to get anywhere with Rozier. You're not going to win a title. You're not even going to win an ACC. I'm being honest. You might not even win an ACC championship. So what good is it to keep him in there if you're not going to give this kid a chance and maybe hope for the future? That's the way I think. Another point about the Dolphins, look at this. I just want to say, people are now coming out that haven't gone to the game before all of a sudden. Dolphins are 3-0, fine. I've always, you know me, for the longest, I've always been positive. And I just got one stat that I'm going to keep people, you know, thinking about this. Tannehill and Gase have a connection. They have something good going. Whether they win ugly, if they win good, it doesn't matter in the NFL how you win. I keep on telling everybody. I don't care if they go 3-0 the rest of the year, winning every single game 3-0. That gives you a Super Bowl, 19-0. It doesn't matter. As long as you win. They're 12-1 the last 13 games after starting 1-4.
He's a winner, that Tannehill. Well, let me let you run on that note. By the way, here's something to think about, because the Dolphins, they're one of three unbeaten teams left in the NFL, right? So you know how the 72 guys, the old-timers, they always pop the champagne after the last unbeaten falls? What if that is the Dolphins? If the Dolphins are the last unbeaten to lose, they can't pop the champagne then, right? Surely they can't be that petty about their 72 record. And then do they celebrate if the Dolphins go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl this year? They should throw the biggest party the world has ever seen. We'll talk with Safeed Dean, talk some Dolphins on the other side. But here's a Kane stat that I like to leave you with here before we flip the script to the NFL when we come back. So in their last three games of 2017, this is a great stat from stateoftheu.com, because we've talked about some of the areas where Miami is improving, right? Like, you talk about the opportunity now at a new starting quarterback. You think about how good Jeff Thomas has been at wide receiver, how good Gerald Willis has been at defensive tackle. How about one of Miami's worst stats from a year ago, dramatically improving so far this season? Last three games of 2017, those were the three straight losses. Miami was 21.8% on third down. Woof. Then against LSU, they were 37%, also bad. Flipping a new page through in 2018, the improvement is staggering. Through the first four games, Miami is now converting on 48.2% of third downs. And since the LSU loss, 52.7%. So that's a big improvement. And part of that has come with Nkosi Perry being good on third down this past game. Perry and the offense were 54% on third downs against FIU. And again, I know that FIU's defense is not LSU's defense. They're not FSU's defense. They're not Virginia Tech's defense, although what happened against Old Dominion? FIU is not a great defense compared to some of the other teams that you play, but that's still a good stat for a young quarterback who I believe gives you the best chance to win. We'll talk some Miami Dolphins. 4-0 this weekend. Are we feeling it? Safeed Dean joins us next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Wait for it. Celebration of 3-0. Hold on. Here we go.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
I have not gotten this out of my head since, what was it, last Thursday that you debuted this with me, Tito? When was this?
Yeah, last Thursday.
I've not gotten out of my head since. And they do play this song at the stadium sometimes. And I'm the only idiot yelling, Ryan Tannehill, even at the Canes game, right, when this song is playing. In the press box, I'm yelling, Ryan Tannehill.
Now I'm wondering if it works with Nkosi Perry.
Nick Cosi-Perry. It's a little bit of a stretch.
It
doesn't feel like a glove the way it does for Tannehill. I got a lot of stuff to get to with our next guest as we go out to
Tannehill.
Right now, the song is just annoying me.
Ryan Tannehill.
It was fun at first. Now, I don't know. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and bring in Safid Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. First and foremost, I discovered during the commercial break that Tito Benach is full of BS. Safid, Tito has been allegedly a personal friend of yours for how long, would you say?
You asking me? You're asking
I'm asking you. I want your side of it.
I have no idea who that guy is. I have no idea who this guy is.
Oh, wow. So he is full of BS.
Yo, I just know I got a Twitter DM the other day, man. Hey, man, I'm Tito. I work at 2 a.m. I got this dope song for Ryan Tannehill. You should hear it. Yo, do you mind coming on the Dono show? I was like, you know what, man? For sure. Anything for Dono, but don't unfollow me after this.
Yeah, because listen, I just met Safid for the first time a couple weeks ago at the Dolphins-Titans game. You know, I've read some of his work. I know he's the new guy at the Sun Sentinel. Tito Benach, this serial liar, claims to be a personal friend of yours. And so just to be sure, like, oh, since you and this guy are close, so I asked Tito, just how do you pronounce the first name? Is it Safid? Is it Safid? And he very confidently tells me it's Safid. So for however long he's claimed to know you,
I'm a horrible friend. I'm not gonna deny that. I'm a horrible friend.
You're not even a friend at all. So if I can move past that with you, as we have now decided, it is Safid Dean. Safid, what did you think about Tito's Tannehill song?
You know, I think it's catchy. I think if I knew you guys were gonna play it before me coming on, I would have had a hot 16 ready to go, ready to burn that up. I think it needs some work, though. I think we need to get Tito on some auto-tune.
Yes.
It definitely needs some work. Out of 5 mics, I give it about a 2.5 right now. Tito, let's get that up to 3.5-4 mics. I'll write a 16, and we could really make this happen, man. I think we got a mixtape. We could sell it at our Hard Rock Stadium at the UM and the Miami tailgates, and we can make this happen, yo.
Yes.
Now, something, Safid, I'm impressed with you. You clearly knew the right time to get off the Florida State beat and get on the Miami Dolphins beat. I mean, Florida State, they're struggling. They've got a ridiculous turnover backpack. Now the Miami Dolphins are 3-0. I give you all the credit for that. Your thoughts on what is happening now in Tallahassee after leaving that beat behind?
Listen, somebody needs to write me a check for this 3-0 start, and I think it might be 4-0 after this week, but I'm looking for a nice little Venmo, a nice little Cash App. I will take it in the mail. I'll wait for it, but yeah, man, things are not going so well for Willie Taggart in his first season at FSU. I think Miami can definitely win this game when they play each other in a couple weeks. Willie Taggart inherited something, just as we saw Jimbo Fisher couldn't run fast enough away from it. You know, poor O-line. You got a good quarterback, you got some good skill players, but there's no foundation there in offense to really go far, and this defense just continues to question itself whenever it gets a big play. Willie Taggart has his hands full, and I think Mark Rigg does it again. I think he goes two wins in a row against FSU so far for him.
Now, you mentioned something with the Dolphins, who traveled to New England on Sunday, that you think it could very well be 4-0 this weekend. Patriots are not exactly passing my eye test so far. They are a 7-point favorite this Sunday. They have not lost 3 consecutive games since 2002. That probably has something to do with the odds. Also, they've not lost to the Dolphins at Gillette Stadium since 2008. So what has to happen this Sunday, Safid, for the Dolphins to beat the Patriots on the road and get to 4-0?
I think the Dolphins need to continue with their bread and butter. Excuse me, man. The Ryan Tannehill song got to me. but I think they have to continue with the big plays. They have to continue getting Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson in space. Adam Gase has to continue to unleash those wrinkles in his playbook and kind of catch the Patriots off guard, man. I think what really helped the Dolphins in week 2 was jumping out to that 20-zip lead against the Jets. The defense was able to play comfortably for most of the rest of that game. You know, the Dolphins had some turnovers that, you know, they luckily did not allow the Jets to score. But if they can get out to an early lead against the Patriots, it really bodes well for them. And I think, you know, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Kenny Stills, man, this Dolphins offense is probably one of the fastest ones that we've ever seen down here in Miami. And that Patriots defense looks pretty slow and didn't make my eye test as well. So I think the Dolphins have a good chance, but the odds are definitely stacked against them.
Now, you know, Tom Brady, 41 years old. Everyone is wondering at what point does the rapid decline happen? I don't know if that's happening because he hasn't been getting a lot of help at wide receiver. It's been pretty abysmal. So how much of the Patriots' issues? You mentioned the defense being slow, but how good or bad has Brady been in your eyes so far this year?
You know, Brady's always going to be what Brady is. You know, a gamer, a true gamer, a champion, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in this game. You can't understate that. Even now at 41, he wouldn't be out there if he still didn't think he could do it. And I think Brady's had said, you know, plenty of times in the recent years how the game just becomes a little bit more easier for him with time. He still has his number one target. Gronk is still going to eat. He's still going to get his fair share of opportunities to, you know, score and score big. And as we know, this Dolphins team hasn't done really well against tight ends in recent years. That's one thing to watch. But, you know, Julian Edelman has sat out a couple games, suspension. You know, Philip Dorsett, Miami kid, hasn't had that many opportunities too. They just got Josh Gordon, didn't play him last week. And I'm pretty sure Josh Gordon is going to play this week after, you know, a good week or so learning that offense, getting healthy too. I know he had a hamstring issue, but Tom Brady needs some weapons, man. He needs to sustain that run game, sustain, you know, some kind of passing attack with those guys. And, you know, you can't bet against him and Belichick. I wouldn't.
Ryan Tannehill, 12-1 in his last 13 starts. I think what has helped him so far has been the offensive line playing pretty well, the speed at wide receiver. You know, the running game has helped him, but I mean, to Ryan Tannehill, does he look the part to you, or is the other shoe going to drop this year at some point?
No, he definitely does look a lot more comfortable, even after missing all of last season. And speaking of Ryan Tannehill and Adam Gase, you know, the first couple weeks, that's probably the one thing that I took away the most here. You know, I haven't really been too familiar with the Dolphins over the years, but from 2016, when they won 9 out of 10 games in the middle of that season to reach the playoffs, that something really connected there. And it was probably one of the biggest reasons why Tannehill getting hurt, you know, before last season, why that was such a disappointment for Adam Gase and the Dolphins and all Dolphins fans, is wanting to see how they could build from that 2016 experience. Everybody kind of, you know, hints a little bit that this has a 2016 feel to it. And even so, Adam Gase and some of the Dolphins players would say it even feels a little bit better here in 2018 because you have guys like Frank Gore, Danny Amendola, Albert Wilson, newcomers who have really bought into what Gase and Tannehill want to do on offense. And the defense is really clicking so far. You do have some, you know, you do have some liabilities out there, especially at linebacker, some inexperienced guys. The secondary has some injuries too, with Rashad Jones, and also the D line. You know, is working on a big rotation here that took a couple hits in that last game too. So it seems like this Dolphins team is a lot more connected than in recent years, and they hope to recreate that 2016 magic that helped them get to the playoffs.
You know, you get a chance on a regular basis, or at least a semi-regular basis, to talk to Xavier Howard, to talk to his coaches. What would you credit, and I always knew the potential was there with Xavier, but what would you credit as the reasons why he's taking such a positive leap forward this season?
You know, Xavier Howard probably just realized that he has an opportunity to be one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I think he's definitely in that top five mix. You have some guys like, you know, Jalen Ramsey, obviously at the top of the class there, but Xavier Howard is going to quietly creep into that mix more and more this season. I think he has 6 or 7 picks in his last 8 games. That's probably the best of any cornerback in the NFL. And teams are still going to try to test him. You know, teams are still going to, you know, try to see if he can really defend. And they've not been doing so well finding that out so far. And also, when you have a guy like Rashad Jones, who didn't play last game, but, yeah, you know, with a shoulder injury, when you have a guy like that that's covering one side of the field, you got Xavier Howard on one side of the field too. There's not really that many places you can go. If you're trying to beat the Dolphins from over the top with those two guys out there, they're two of the Dolphins' best defenders. That's probably why Howard is getting tested, because you either go Jones' way or you go his way. And when Jones comes back and Howard playing the way he has, I think the Dolphins' secondary has two pretty solid players, and also Minkah Fitzpatrick in that mix, who's a great cover guy, a great guy in the nickel. Does need some work if he's going to play as a free safety, as we saw in the last game. But if you have those three guys there, the secondary is pretty solid for Miami.
What's it like working with Omar Kelly? Has he ever tried to, like, haze you or anything since you're new to the beat?
Listen, man, Omar Kelly is a great guy to work with. I know he gets a lot of you know, a lot of flack for being who he is on social media, but you can't flack a guy for being who he is. And I'm being who I am right now, too. I don't know if you guys check out the videos on SunSentinel.com. Me and Omar like to get into it. I predicted 3-0 for the Dolphins so far. You guys are going to have to check out on Thursday to see how I'm predicting this game to turn out, who's going to score. I've been pretty good. I've predicted all of Albert Wilson's and Kenny Stills' touchdowns this season. I had Jakeem Grant running one back at the first game of the year.
And he didn't know.
Omar Kelly's giving me flack for, you know, saying the Dolphins are going to score a little bit too much. I had them scoring 34 against the Jets. They didn't do anything in the second half. Ended up with 20, but I hit it right on the head. First game, 28 points. Had 28 points again in week three. They had 27. So Omar's had to work for me a little bit too, man. I'm the young gun out here. I'm trying to make it big here down in the South Florida market and trying to get to know all you guys as Dolphins fans and you guys on the radio circuit here. I'm excited how this 3-0 start has gone on for Miami, and I'm looking forward to see how the rest of the season turns out for these guys.
Now, I'm not much of a sports bettor, but I will be in Vegas next week, so I hope you don't mind that I might have to text you like 24 times for some gambling picks because it sounds like you're hitting everything.
Listen, anybody can reach out to me on social media, Twitter, @Soffit_Dean. I'll answer all your requests. Make sure you hit my Venmo up, though. This ain't free advice, except for the Dolphins stuff you check out on SunSentinel.com.
Love that. Follow him on Twitter, as he mentioned, @Soffit_Dean, and check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thank you so much, man. It was nice chatting with you.
Appreciate it, man. And don't listen to whatever Tito says, man. Don't
I will
take
stop
any of his food
forever.
Recommendations. Don't take any of his food recommendations. Just let him make cool songs, and we'll make this happen, bro.
I love that. You call that a friend of Tito's? Like it sounds like Tito stalks this guy. Claimed to be a friend of Safid for years. I asked Tito before the show. Just I want to make sure I have the pronunciation of his first name correct. Oh, it's Safid. He's very confident in that. Worst friend ever. I now question every food recommendation Tito has ever made for me. I really do. We'll open up the phone lines in the upcoming segments. We will talk some Canes, though, with Manny Navarro from The Athletic at 7:20. But if you'd like to get in, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. I'll do my top three when we come back. Top three things I think I was wrong about before football season started. The Alex Dono Show continues next.